Okay, I just forgot to start the recorder. So we're on Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Colton just read it for us. Okay, so hold your place there and flip back to chapter 7. And somebody read verse 5. Ecclesiastes 7, 5.
It is better to hear the rebuke of someone wise than for a man to hear the song of fools.
Okay, so as I was reading through, I came across chapter 7, verse 5, which... I feel like it's a really it reads kind of like a proverb, but it's better to better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. What do you guys think that means? What does rebuke mean? Anybody know what rebuke means?
Prevent getting in trouble.
What did you say? Prevent?
I said repent.
Repent? No, not really. What did you say?
Getting in trouble.
It's like criticize.
Yeah, like yeah, criticize, correct. Maybe a little bit. Rebuke is more like, yeah, it's more like a correction. Like,
reprimand.
You're trying to, huh?
Reprimand.
Yeah, like a reprimand. Yeah, so it's saying that it's better to hear the rebuke of a wise man than to listen to the song of fools. So, like, you know, if you're getting praised and encouraged and, like, recognized by a group of fools, even though, like, in the moment it's not easy to hear rebuke from anybody, it's easier or it's better to hear that from a wise man to like, hey, you're doing something wrong and I'm trying to help you like correct it. And so versus like being surrounded by people that are like, oh, you're the best. Everything you do is great. And they're fools. They're leading you the wrong way. So I wanted to read that verse in conjunction with chapter 12, verse 13, because who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes?
Solomon.
Yeah. So Solomon wrote it. What do we know about Solomon? What's like the main thing that Solomon's known for?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, yes. He's like the wisest man that ever lived. What did you say?
I said he's a king.
But he was a king. That's a, that is a
isn't he like
main
Solomon
feature.
The wisest man that ever lived and was.
Yes. So, if Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived, and he writes this verse, chapter 12, verse 13, that says that we should hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If that's the rebuke that we hear, it's better to hear that from a wise man, from Solomon, than it is to like continue on doing the things that we're doing and being praised by fools around us, right? So he tells us that the two things that we need to be focusing on is to fear God and to keep his commandments. So when the Bible talks about fearing God, what is it? What does that mean? What are we talking about? Respect.
Trusting in him and
maybe trusting in him, but
come back to me, please.
I mean, you raised your hand. That's why I called on you in the first place.
Okay? I had it in my brain.
So the fear of the Lord does not mean afraid fear. It's not a
respect.
Yeah, it's like a respect. It's like the way that hopefully that if you have a godly father, like a dad in your life, the way that you like view your father. So when I was a kid, or even still today, I still have my dad, but when I was a kid, like I feared my dad. I feared disappointing my dad. I feared what would happen if he found out if I was doing something that I wasn't supposed to be doing. I wasn't afraid that he was going to hurt me. I mean, like in the spanking sense, yeah, I was afraid of that. I was afraid of losing things or getting grounded or whatever. I was afraid of those things, but I wasn't afraid like legitimately that my father was going to physically harm me. That wasn't a fear that I had.
Scared and afraid are different things.
Right, yeah. I wasn't scared of him in that sense. I had a fear of my dad because I wanted to behave myself in such a way that did not cause him to have to give me consequences of some kind. Obviously, the picture of a father and a child physically is it's a picture of the relationship between God the Father and us. And so when we look at our own parents... it's a picture of God. So we shouldn't look at God and be afraid of God in the sense that we're worried that he's going to hurt us in some way. But when we act out or we do things that we're not supposed to, like there's going to be consequences for those actions. So being afraid of God is not what fearing God is talking about. There's a bunch of verses on fear of the Lord that I have that we're not going to turn to all of them. The phrase fear of the Lord, anybody want to guess how many times they think it shows up in the Bible? It's less than I thought it would be.
329.
35 is close. 30 times. It shows up 30 times in the Bible. The one I do want to look at is go to Proverbs chapter 16. You can hold your place in Ecclesiastes if you want. Proverbs 16, verse 6. Somebody read that one. If you read a Proverbs a day, you'll be reading it here in a couple days. If you read the day of the month that it is. Proverbs 16, it'll be the 16th on like Monday or Tuesday.
Find mercy and truth in
iniquity.
Oh, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil.
Okay, so the Bible has a lot of things to say about fear of the Lord. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Psalms and Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But in this particular verse, it says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And so when Solomon's telling us that to fulfill the whole duty of man, we need to do these two things. We need to fear God and we need to keep his commandments. We fear God so that we depart from evil. We fear God because that's how we gain wisdom. That's how we gain knowledge. Those other verses that we don't have time to look at talk about those things. But we fear God so that we don't fall into sin, so that we can depart from evil. Because, again, not that we're afraid of him hurting us, but we're afraid of the consequences. For me, at least, I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's easy to look at God as like, God is my own personal God. Like, he is my, which he is that to all of us. But God is not like our own personal genie that we can just ask for things when we want it. And if he doesn't give it to us, then we don't follow after him. Or, you know, we ask for him to not punish us when we deserve something. Or we ask for him to help us with something that we didn't prepare for. Okay, like, I do these same kind of things. I sometimes look at God. I mean, he's the creator of the universe. He is all-powerful. He's more powerful than anything else in the universe. He's everywhere all the time. He knows everything, right? But sometimes that big of a God, somehow in my brain, I can still look at God and say, oh yeah, I ask him for things when I need it. Like, he's my own genie, right? Like, that's not the way we should view God. That's not how God is, that's not how our relationship with God is supposed to work. God doesn't work for me, right? Like, I am supposed to work for God. And so, there's a bunch of other verses I wanted to look at, but Proverbs 16, verse 3, I'll just read it. I've got it in my notes. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And so, if we're looking at God as who he really is, the almighty, all-powerful, creator God that is in charge of everything, right? If that's the way that we view him, it should be easy for us to look at somebody like that in fear, right? All of us maybe have people that we are afraid of from time to time, like afraid of what they might think about us or what they might say about us, or afraid of a bully who might mess with us, or afraid of our parents because of what we've done, or afraid of a teacher or an officer or somebody, right? Like, we have these fears. God is so much bigger than all of that, and we still sometimes look at God as like he owes us something for some reason, right? Even though clearly we owe him everything. But we look at God and sometimes we don't fear God because we look at him as like he answers our prayers. And so, and therefore, I'm in control and God answers my prayers. That's the opposite way to look at that relationship. That verse that I just read in Proverbs, it says, commit our works unto the Lord and our thoughts shall be established, flows into the second part of what he tells us about the whole duty of man, is to fear God. Fearing God, what part of your body does that focus on? It focuses on your mind, right? It focuses on your thoughts. Like, the things that, like, when I'm afraid of somebody, it has to do with my mind, right? The way that I'm thinking of that person. To keep God's commandments, that's my actions, right? That's things that I'm doing. That's me living it out and acting out the things that I've been told. And so if I commit my works to the Lord, this verse in Proverbs 16:3 tells me if I commit my works to the Lord, then my thoughts then will be established. If I do the hard things, if I force my flesh to do things that it doesn't want to do, if I force my flesh to look at God and say, I am subject to God, not the other way around, I answer to God, God does not answer to me. Yes, he does answer my prayers sometimes because he loves me, but I am subject to the Lord. If I commit my actions that way and I look at God and I desire to keep his commandments, because what does Jesus say in John 14:15? He says, if you love me, what?
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. Right? So if we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. And if we commit to keeping his commandments in our actions, if we commit to do the things that we know he has commanded us to do, right? Reading our Bible, praying, like sharing the gospel, you know, discipling other people, investing the word of God in people. If we do those things and we are building a character of somebody who is a servant of the Lord and has a mindset that not my will, but thy will be done. If that's our attitude and the way that we do our actions, then our thoughts are going to be established. Then we're going to more easily fear the Lord because we're putting him in the place that he deserves to be, which is so much more elevated over us. And so when you guys try to read your Bible, how many of the time do you guys read a couple verses and then you don't remember what it says? How many times do you guys fall asleep when you read the Bible?
I don't fall asleep.
I usually read my Bible at night. I fall asleep sometimes when I read my Bible. It's because our flesh is weak. The things that we feed are the things that get stronger. So our flesh is weak. Our flesh is working in opposition to anything spiritual. So when you get tired when you're reading your Bible, but you can sit on your phone and scroll for hours and not get tired, that's because your flesh enjoys the interaction with the phone or with the video game or with a book or with music or whatever the thing is for you. When your flesh enjoys that and it's getting out of it what it wants, you don't get tired as easily. But when you sit down and you're reading the Bible, it's like, oh, I don't know what this is talking about. I'm too tired, or my mind is wandering onto other things or whatever. But it doesn't work that way whenever it's things that your flesh likes. For those of you guys who like to read, you can read stories and you can read books and you can remember in detail all the characters, the interactions, the conversations that they've had, the places that you can visualize, the places in the book. You can visualize all the things that are going on in that book. But when you read the Bible, it sometimes doesn't work that way, right? Because your flesh is fighting against what you're trying to read. You can read the same passage and you can read an interesting story, and sometimes it just doesn't stick because your flesh is fighting against it. It's the same way when you pray. For me, if I sit down and I'm like, okay, for the next 15 minutes, I'm going to pray about this, 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 and I close my eyes and I start praying, my mind wanders and I start thinking about other things, and I'm planning out the rest of my day, or I'm thinking about tomorrow, or, you know, what are we going to do for dinner, or whatever. Like, my mind starts wandering. I assume you guys probably have a similar problem. If you sit down and you try to pray, especially if you close your eyes, maybe you get tired or your mind is not focused on what it's trying to be focused on, because our flesh is constantly fighting against the spirit. And so when we're trying to do spiritual things, our flesh doesn't like that. It wants to do fleshly things. It wants to do what our flesh wants. One more verse I want you guys to turn to. Galatians 5:16.
That is in the New Testament.
Yeah, if you had a New Testament, this would work for this one. Somebody read Galatians 5:16.
Once everyone gets there.
Yes, once everyone gets there. Galatians 5:16. Okay, Lily, go for it.
Galatians 5:16.
Yep.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Okay, so if the flesh wants for your mind to wander when you're reading, for you not to know what you're reading, to fall asleep when you're reading, to not think about your prayer requests as you're praying them, if your flesh is wanting those things, and you are saying, I don't want to be that way. I want to be able to focus on what I'm reading. I want to be able to pray about the things that I'm trying to pray about. I need to put my flesh in subjection to what it wants and tell it it doesn't get what it wants in this case. That's the keeping the commandments part. And the more you commit your works to those things, and the more you commit your works to the things that against the flesh, more time you commit to the spiritual things, then your thoughts are going to be established. Well, that all happens because this verse says to walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? Pastor Brian was talking about it on Sunday morning. He was talking about when we get saved, we get all of the Holy Spirit that we're ever going to get, right? We don't get more Holy Spirit the more spiritual we are. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit gets more of you, right? The more time that you spend feeding the spiritual side of things and dying to the flesh and not letting the flesh have what it wants, the stronger the spiritual side gets. And the stronger the spiritual side gets, the more you're walking in the Spirit and the less you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and the cycle is going to continue to repeat itself. So if we listen to what the wisest man who ever lived has to say, and he says, listen, at the conclusion of all of these things that I've lived and all of these fleshly desires that I've sought after, and all the money and the women and the possessions and the palaces and the power and all the things that I have as the king of Israel, after all of those things, here's what it all boils down to. At my conclusion, Solomon says, is to fear God, keep his commandments. That's our whole job. And so if we keep God's commandments and we commit to dying to our flesh, allowing the spirit to take over and not to get our flesh what it wants, then we're going to fear God, and the cycle is going to perpetuate in a good way. We're going to, the more we fear God, the more we're going to keep his commandments. The more we keep his commandments, the more our thoughts are going to be turned into fearing God the more time you spend reading the Bible and the more time you spend studying, especially, not just reading, but studying, the more you realize God is huge, right? I mean, God is working. I mean, there's 8 billion people or over 8 billion people in the world, and God is working all over the world. And there's a network of Christians and churches and people who are evangelizing and discipling and preaching and teaching all over the world. And God is intricately moving pieces all over the world. To just try to fathom the knowledge and the power that it takes to do all of those things, the more you spend time around the Lord, the more you're like, oh, I really should fear this guy. Like, there is really a justified reason to treat God with honor and reverence and respect, and like, wow, I can't even believe that God listens to me whenever I talk. Like, why would God care what I have to say? I mean, the more you spend time around God, the more that should be our feeling, and the more that should then cause us to want to serve him, and again, it just perpetuates over and over again. So this verse right here, really, this verse combined with Ecclesiastes 12:13, those two things combined, really, if you can, like, wrap your mind around, die to my flesh, even just for a short time, the more you do that, the more you develop the discipline, even when it's difficult, the more you're going to be walking in the Spirit, and the less you're going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and the less control it's going to have over your life. 6 minutes over. Not too bad. All right. Let's pray.